Today, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. A couple of weeks ago, we did Pentecost, and last week we had graduates, and we had five, right? Five graduates, four or five, somewhere in there, college and high school, and we're grateful for them. And so I had a different sermon last week, and I took off in an entirely different direction, so scrapped that sermon. So, but today we're picking up with the fruits of the Spirit. Whenever we think about Pentecost, and rightfully so, we think about the power gifts. You know, we think about the tongues and preaching and miracles, and you know, we think about all of those. But the Bible also, and we'll get to studying those gifts, but what we're looking at is the fruits of the Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit are the work of God on our character. You know, we all need a little work done. We're not talking about body work, we're just talking about spiritual work. So we all need to change our character. See, God in this whole process is changing us from the inside out. So we accept Christ as our Savior. Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes in, is part of our life, and the Holy Spirit helps us then in these gifts. You know, so we're changing, not because we make up our mind to change, or we're reading a self-help book, and, you know, we're doing all these things, but we are allowing the Holy Spirit to bring these things into our life as we study them, and then we're seeing how God can help us live the life that God wants us to with the Holy Spirit's help. So whenever we think of what God is doing in our life, we say, okay, well, God saves us from our sins and we're going to heaven. Well, that's right. You know, don't want to diminish that. We don't want to take away from that at all. But in the whole process of being, call it saved, whenever we have the process where God removes our sin, we find that God then is in the character building business of the Holy Spirit helping us become what we would be if there were no sin. And so, you know, of course that's not true. There is sin. But, you know, our spiritual defects, so to speak, that they, you know, God wants to give us the ability through His Spirit to conquer these difficulties. So God does not merely save people. We find that He fills people. Now, filled with the Spirit, we see it on Pentecost, but not only is it for the gifts, but we find that the fruit of the Spirit is very much a part of God's filling purpose. So fruit is evident that the Spirit is at work in believers. So the Holy Spirit is at work in our life, and it's an evident process. God does not simply save. He cleanses and He restores and He blesses. And we find that in no way we can minimize the redemptive work. In no wise can we want to set aside the redemptive thing of how we've been saved from sins and we've been, you know, brought into the family of God. But He still fills us. He still brings the Holy Spirit into our life. Now, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, triune Godhead, and that Jesus, whenever He ascended into heaven, He told them that, you know, it was 40 days since the resurrection, and he's going to heaven. He says, I want you to go into Jerusalem and wait there, and I'm going to send you another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. So that was 40 days, and then on 50 days, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came with power and indwelt the disciples. And so whenever Jesus says to us that He is going to send another comforter, the word means another just like myself. So He is sending us another part of the Trinity, that God the Father, God the Son, now God the Holy Spirit is with us. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is over all the earth. So people in China can be praying and we can be praying, and it's the Holy Spirit inspiring. So the Spirit is there in us and inspiring our prayers and giving us understanding of spiritual things. So, I guess one of the main questions that we ask ourselves is, what kind of spirit guides your life? You know, we have the human spirit, we have the Holy Spirit, and of course you've got the evil one. And so the devil, the evil, the fallen angels, they want to direct our life in a way that is away from God and, you know, away from believing and allowing God to work in our life. But the Spirit wants to guide our life. And so we're pretty much sorting through life from a human perspective and a divine perspective. And what we want to do is allow the Spirit to guide us, and so that we can make good choices and make right choices before God. So we find that Pentecost was about power to accomplish, and we find that the Spirit of the Holy Spirit with the fruits of the Spirit is about transformation. It's about our daily walk with God. So we find that the first fruit of Galatians 5:22 is but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Yes, I thought maybe we'd break into song, you know. Love. No, I want to sing the Beatles. No. So what God is saying in the scriptures is much different than what the secular music says in their understanding of love. So love appears first because it is the foundation upon which all the fruit grows. And this is an important aspect, is that if you want to have the fruit of the Spirit working in our life, we've got to experience the love of God. You know, the love of God is that which draws us to this relationship with God. So love is, you know, we're not pushed away, we're not considered inferior or not good enough. We are the perfect person that God wants to draw us into his presence, and for us to understand that we are loved, that there is no garbage. There is no human person that God doesn't love. And so he loves us with a love that would bring him to the cross to die for our sins. That's how much he loves us. So that love is where we find our coming to Christ. So the Greek word for love is agape, which is a sacrificial, a selfless sacrificial love. So we find that in one of these scriptures. It's a little later, I guess. Love is choosing the good of another person. So whenever we're in our friendships with people, we choose the good in the relationship. We choose to think the good things about the person and build on those types of things. Even though we know they're not the best of individuals, we don't agree with their evil thoughts. We agree with the parts of them that are kind of the inclination is toward God. So the agape is sacrificial love, and he was willing to be the sacrifice for our sins. In John 15:13, greater love has no man that this than to lay down one's life for a friend. So and we were far from being a friend of God when he died for our sins. So before you knew him, he died for you. So without love, spiritual gifts become empty noise. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, you know, without love, you're just a clanging cymbal, just making lots of noise. But with love, we find that the relational experience that we have is very important, and that relational experience with God is part of what changes us. So the spiritual transformation then changes. The spiritual transformation that goes on the inside changes our attitude and our action. The spiritual empowerment then, we see this when Peter on the day of Pentecost, he stands up and he has his sermon, this sermon that leads to the conversion of thousands. So we find that this was an empowerment. And we find that this is what happens in our own life. And then the Holy Spirit doesn't merely change what we do. He changes who we are from the inside out. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. We have a new lease on life, a new understanding of life, a new perspective of life, because we are doing things for God and for His kingdom, and only what is done for Christ will last. So these are the things that love helps us put the initiative together. So I remember, well, I probably used this illustration. I'm old and I remember and I put things together, and I'll tell you like I've never told it to you before. All right? I don't know if I have surgery on my neck and all of that, whether it'll fix my throat. I don't know. So anyhow, you can pray for that. God help him. So this guy comes to heaven, you know, and he's got all of his wagon loads of stuff he's dragging along, and he goes into this tunnel. And the tunnel has the sign, only what is done for Christ will last. Okay, so he goes through this tunnel. He's got loads of stuff that he's done in life. And when he comes out the other side, there's hardly anything in his wagon. It's all been burned up because that was for himself. This was what he did for God. So in our life, what you do for Christ will last. And that means, you know, a smile, encouraging thoughts, being an encouragement to others. That these are the things that we do because of our love for God and God's love for us in helping people. So many people want the power of God. They want the, you know, like in the New Testament, these people saw what the disciples were doing, and they wanted to buy it. You know, we can buy this, we can use this to make money. Well, many people want the power, but they don't want the transformation. So God's first work is on the inside before he works through us on the outside. So God wants to change our hearts and change our philosophy, change our way of looking at life. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Notice that Paul says here fruit, not fruits. I've often called it fruits of the Spirit, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. Love is the first because all the other gifts and fruit grow from this. If you don't have love, Scripture says none but a sounding gong. So God measures first by love. Success without love becomes selfish ambition. Knowledge without love becomes pride. Leadership without love becomes control. So we find that whenever we are loving, it is that which is love. We're doing a work of service. We thought it was just for us, you know, we'd get a paycheck, get this, get that. We're actually working for God, and other people are paying us. We're working for what God wants us to do, and we're getting paid because of it. So love keeps our gifts pointed towards God. Loving in hard times keeps us involved. There are difficulties that will come into our life, and we don't know why, but we still remain faithful. So our life and people we serve, that we have a purpose in doing that. They're not objects or things. People are not objects or things that we are moving around like checkers on a checkerboard. He's given us his love to touch their life. So the second fruit of the Spirit is, it's a lady's name. Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God of heaven and God of earth. Never mind. So joy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, but love that we have, from that love comes joy. Now, we want to know that joy is not the absence of problems. Joy is the presence of God. Yet they rejoice because Christ was alive and with them through the Holy Spirit. They were joyful. But when Christ ascended to heaven, Pentecost comes, the Holy Spirit comes. Well, they are joyful because the Spirit has come to be with them. So biblical joy is different. Biblical joy comes from God. And biblical joy is not happiness, and is not happiness and joy are not the same. Happiness depends on happenings, you know? But joy is that which resides in the heart. That resides that God is taking care of me. He is watching over me. He's watching over my life. And so I can recognize that, you know, God works all things together for good. I don't like this, but joyful, joyful, we adore you, God of power and God of might. Who wrote that one? I don't know. I just thought I'd ask. Who? Beethoven. Oh. Yeah. So, hey, we'll bring out the orchestra next week, and we can sing that. So biblical joy is different. It comes from God. So, whether we're a boss of a company or an individual who works in a company, or whether we are an individual who works for ourselves, without love, we lose sight of why we are doing what we do. Why we are doing what we do. Now, being a pastor, you know, everything I do is so for God. You know, he's a preacher. It's got to be everything. Well, if I don't do it for God, then I'm doing it for me. And guess what? It doesn't make it past the tunnel in heaven. We do it, it's unto the Lord. And, you know, we can lose sight of that because sometimes we run into people that we don't like. I'm sure you never did that, but. So we need to know that serving God is not a burden, it's a blessing. So it gives us a different way of looking at what we do. Looking at that we are here to serve God and looking at the talents and the abilities and the places that we're going and the people that we're with, we're here, we're serving God. Well, then we can pray for God to help us in serving and that we can pray for God's direction in serving. I remember this story. It was these individuals in Texas. There was a big investment coming into Dallas, and a Christian investment firm was there, and they were quite successful, and they were presented with this opportunity to, you know, make a killing. They were presented that to be in on the ground floor of this new thing that was coming to Dallas, and it was everybody in town was on, and the who's who in town was on the list of investing in this, and the group looked at it and they were willing to go for it, and they said, well, we need to pray about it. Well, they prayed and they came out, they didn't feel right about the investment. They says, it looks good, everything's in place, all the laws are in place, the T's are crossed, I's, but we just can't do this. Well, 2 years later, it was a scam, and all those people were having to go to court for what they have done. But this company that was the Christian company, they didn't have to go to court because they did not sign. They did not become part of it. So in our lives, God can direct us. You know, it's like waiting another moment in the car and then somebody blows by in the intersection. You know, my mom, she wouldn't, I wouldn't say she wouldn't pay attention, but she's always thinking ahead. And so she comes to the curb, and she's going to step off the curb, and she says somebody just held her there. And she didn't step off, and then the car went right by her. If she had stepped off, she would have been hit by this car. Now, I know people get hit, and people have problems and things like that, and I don't understand why it happens the way it does, but I do know that God is with us, and that God can work these things for good in our life. So the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, and the third one is peace. So peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, says the Lord. Not as the world gives. See, the world seeks peace through control, peace treaties. early days of our continent, they made all kinds of treaties with the Native Americans, and of course it was always just something to break because we needed more land and we could take it. So we made peace treaties by putting them on reservations and, you know, giving them money and, you know, doing things. And whenever we wanted to, it's like in North Dakota, South Dakota, we gave the Indians, the Native Americans, one section of South Dakota. And then we took it back because there was gold there. And, you know, peace treaties through manipulation or control. And we find that the peace of God is not because he controls you. The peace of God is that we are at peace with him, and that we are, be not anxious, be not afraid. You know, let the peace of God be in your life. So before Pentecost, the disciples were anxious, they were afraid, and they were hiding in a room. After Pentecost, they stood before the crowds and authorities with confidence and with power. They were arrested and beaten and, you know, thrown in jail. The circumstances had not changed. The spirit within them had changed. It was the power of living for Christ, and the peace of God was part of who they were as individuals. You know, I was looking at a commentary whenever Paul was in Caesarea, and he was in the in Caesar's house. So, you know, I read that, and he was chained to a guard in one of the rooms in Caesar's palace, not in Las Vegas, but Caesar's palace. It's a Caesar's palace. Okay. Anyhow, they found that Caesar's palace in Caesarea, underneath it was a dungeon. And they found prison bars and where the prisoners would have been kept. So Paul moved from being on the first floor in an apartment of the Caesar's palace to the dungeon in chains. And this is where he was at for years, you know, waiting to be tried. And from there he then chose to go to Rome. So the peace that God is with him, the peace that God is at work. He was beaten and drug out of the city for dead, you know, but he was at peace with God, and he was at peace with people, because he knew that the enemy of our soul is what tries to destroy us. God, the Holy Spirit, is with us, wanting to heal and restore. So we find that the peace guards our hearts and minds. Peace, it steadies us during the storms. Peace, it calms us when answers are unclear and things happen. It reminds us that God remains in control. So peace is not that everything works out and that everything is perfect. It's that God is in control and God will take care of this, and, you know, we just rest in his presence. So the Holy Spirit reminds us that we walk by faith and not by sight. Reminds us that love reaches outward. These are six things that love does. Love, joy, and peace. One is love reaches outward. Joy rises upward. Peace settles inward. I like that one. And there's three more. Love affects our relationships. Joy affects our outlook. And peace affects our hearts. So when we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, it is that which affects our minds and our hearts and our outlooks and our perspective, because the peace of God is with us. You know, don't need to be anxious. Don't need to be upset. You know, God's going to take care of it, and it's all good because God is in control. We pray about it. We ask God to bless us. We ask God to guide us, and these things come into our life, and what are we supposed to do? We need to focus on God, allow his love. First of all, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and your minds. my joy, it's like my joy I give unto you. It is a there's a joy that resides in the heart and in the life because there is a relationship with God. And it has not, and it has very little to do with what goes on in the world around us. So what God is doing in us is preparing us for life, for today, for tomorrow, and for eternity. Because when we're in heaven, it's all good. But we ain't there yet. So it's still all good. And Christ is with us. So as we think about the Spirit, and we think about how the Spirit works in our life, the Lord fill us fresh, let us be renewed in our spirit. May our life be filled with love, our hearts be filled with joy, and our lives be marked by peace. Shall we pray? Father, we are grateful that you have blessed us with life. You have brought us together to celebrate our relationship with you and our friendship with one another. We thank you for these fruit of the Spirit that, Lord, speaks to our hearts in everyday life and everyday living. You are the one who provides for us. So, Lord, let us take these fruit that you have spoken to our hearts, and, Lord, let them secure us and bring us to an understanding that life is not out of control, but Lord, you are with us in every situation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen.